Welcome back to Inspiring and Empowering Radio right here on the Connect with Kimberly Reed Show on Positive Talk Radio 1400 KKZZ here in Ventura County, and podcast very soon off of my website, meetkimberlyreed.com. Have you ever wanted to discover a practical pathway to personal liberation, just to clear out that clutter I was talking about earlier today and bring in liberation and joy directly into your heart, mind, and spirit? If that has been something important to you, or if you'd like to be really happy and fulfilled in your job, or happy and fulfilled in your life, happy and fulfilled in yourself, and to be able to live authentically, then you want to listen to our guest today. And his name is Swami Kriyananda. And I am sorry if I slaughtered that, Swami. Can you hear us?
Well, Kimberly, could you please talk more loudly, because I'm slightly deaf.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you very slightly. I can hear one thing.
Okay, so my engineer is working on increasing the sound, I believe. Can you hear me now?
I do, and I wanted to say that one thing I do hear is that you have a very pleasing voice.
Well, thank you very much. It is an honor and pleasure to welcome you to my new radio show. And I am just so excited about you bringing and wanting to bring in more happiness into our world right now.
Well, that's my goal in life, too.
Oh, that is wonderful. And tell me exactly, how does one become a Swami, first and foremost?
Oh, that simply means that you've renounced attachment to the world. And usually it means you're not married, but it doesn't necessarily. The main thing is that you, in your mind, you own nothing, and you have no desires except to seek God and to serve God in others.
Wow. So it really is living out the servant's heart in totality.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. Now, you chose at a pretty young age, from what I read, to follow Yogananda. Is that correct?
Well, this was at the age of 22. I'd been seeking really very seriously for years, although I was still just an adolescent. What I wanted was truth, and I didn't equate truth with God. I first tried to find it through astronomy and science, and then through political systems and different ways. Every single way that I pursued ended up in a blank wall. And I realized that without God in that equation, there just was no answer. So I remember I had been wanting to become a playwright, and I was in Charleston, South Carolina, to study this at a theater there. And I remember one night in desperation, I took a long walk out of the city into the country, and I asked myself, if there's a God, what must he be? Well, of course, first of all, I realized that he couldn't be a he. He had to be beyond all things.
Beyond gender, right?
And then I realized that he couldn't be just a judge up there waiting to clap me into prison. He had to be somebody who was on my side.
Yeah, definitely.
And so anyway, it all came around finally to my really great discovery in my life, which was that God is consciousness. And that if he's consciousness, then I, in my consciousness, am a part of his consciousness.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful, enlightening moment.
Pardon?
That could be an empowering and enlightening moment.
Absolutely, it was. It changed my whole life. I realized that what I needed to do was be more in tune with him. And so from that moment on, I realized that the only goal of life is to seek God. And whatever one is doing, whether he's a cook or a mechanic or a writer or anything, he has to feel that what he is doing is a part of a divine show. And the more aware we are, the more we can enjoy and the more we can understand. And I decided that from that moment on, I decided I must find God in this life, and there is no other goal that anybody can have. So my solution was totally impractical for me. It was to become a hermit. I was 21 at the time.
Now, how does one, you know, really serve others by being a hermit?
Well, that's right. I had this intense desire to help everybody. So that was a conflict. But I thought, well, how I had wanted to be a playwright in order to help people to find truth.
Mm.
And I thought, well, I don't know truth. How can I help others find it? And I didn't want to flood the world with my ignorance.
Well, that's commendable, because there's enough of that going on.
And that if I was to serve others, I had to have something to serve them with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted to be a hermit, temporarily.
Okay.
Anyway, it didn't work, because I didn't know what to do if I was a hermit. And besides, I needed food. Where would I get the food?
You got to get it from somewhere.
My first thought was, obviously, I have to give up smoking.
Well, that's commendable.
I never heard of a hermit who smoked. And where would I get my cigarettes? So I decided to give up smoking, but it was like Mark Twain, who said that smoking is the easiest habit in the world to give up. I've done it 1,000 times.
Now, Swami, now tell me, so you were looking at astronomy and science. And you were looking at all different kinds of places. So when you became a Swami and you have been practicing all of these years in yoga land, please excuse my ignorance, but when you teach people, are you trying to convert them to your way of spirituality, or are you just trying to enlighten them to realize that there is a power greater than themselves? Are you trying to take people from Christianity and Catholicism to something else?
To hear you, please talk more loudly.
Oh, okay. So when you teach, are you trying to convert people to your brand of spirituality, or are you...
What I always say to people is the only thing I want to convert you to is your own higher self.
Okay.
I'm not interested in making anybody a member of anything.
Okay, that's good. So people of all faith are welcome to
Absolutely.
Your... Yes, okay.
And of no faith. I remember this man in Australia, he'd attended a lecture of mine, and afterwards he came up to me and he said, well, I'm an atheist. And that's the way they say atheist. And he said, what have you got to say it'll be meaningful to me? And I paused him a moment. I said, well, why don't you think of God as the highest potential you can imagine for yourself? And he was quite astonished. He said, well, I can live with that.
So really you're just trying to wake people up to realize their greatness capacity.
Is
that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And to realize that there's something greater than themselves?
Well, that something is infinite.
Yeah, indeed.
It's not just a little thing. We are all manifestations of that infinite reality, that infinite consciousness. And the more we are in tune with it, the happier we are. The nature of that consciousness is bliss. And that's why everybody in the world is seeking bliss or happiness in the usual definition. But everyone on earth is trying for two things. One, to avoid pain, and two, to find happiness.
The two great motivators. You're either moving away from pain or moving towards bliss.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, in fact, there's another thought to that. And this came to me in a dream in Florence, Italy, a few years ago. That is the reason for loving everybody in the world. Because they all want the same thing.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is that it's not like money, which a few people have and a lot of people can't have. Everybody can have this.
Well, and it really is a state of mind when we believe, if we have the faith, that everything is for our good or for our learning and for our abundance. It really takes on...
You've dedicated your life to.
Excuse me?
That's what you have dedicated your life to.
Yes, into teaching people that they have abundant power, absolutely.
Yeah.
And to realize that you know, it's not the world doing things to them, it is their recognition of what can they learn in this moment, even if it's trauma, even if it's tragedy. There is something to be learned and something to be gained, even in those darkest moments.
And it's so thrilling. You know, I have had many tests in my life. I can look back on all of them as great moments of help.
Just opportunities to learn and to grow.
Yes.
So even swamis have challenges, eh?
I beg your pardon?
I said even swamis have challenges?
Oh, how would they not? In fact, you know, the more you give yourself to God, there's a beautiful story about St. Teresa of Avila, who went through a final test in her old age where she nearly drowned, and she saw Jesus on the other side and found herself with him, completely dry. She'd almost, her habit and everything was all wet, but it was suddenly dry. And Jesus smiled at her, and he said, "Don't feel too badly, Teresa. This is how I treat all my friends." Oh, my Lord, that is why you have so few.
That's a cute story. Oh, my goodness. So why do you feel like, Swami, that now is the time for your happiness message?
Well, I think it's always time. The time that I'm really concerned about right now is that I think people, because of their avarice, because of defining happiness in terms of money and position and things, I think we're headed into a very, very serious depression.
I agree.
And I think that it may come to the point where people are actually starving. So I'm very anxious, and in these classes which I'm giving starting February 1st, I want to teach people how to find truth. You know, I founded 8 communities, and the basic principles of these communities are, first, people are more important than things.
Amen.
Very, very important. And the other is, where there is right action, there is victory, success, happiness, everything. And so you don't cut corners morally and expect to be happy.
That is awesome.
So and as much as happiness is really the goal of life, don't think, first let me get rich and then I'll be happy, because you won't be happy with that.
Money just is a magnification tool, just like alcohol or anything else. If you've got jerk tendencies, you're going to be a bigger jerk if you've got more money.
Yeah. You know, Howard Hughes was the wealthiest man in the world, and somebody asked him just a week before he died, "Are you happy?" He said, "No, I can't say I'm happy." His very tone of voice said it for him.
Yeah. So, but you usually just speak once and then move on. Why are you doing this 6-week course?
Well, I don't usually just speak once and move on.
Oh, okay.
I mean, first of all, I'm an old man. I'm 85 nearly.
You're amazing.
And for me to move around would be a little bit of a killer. But I do give public talks. This is the first time I've given a series in quite a few years. I'm eager to help people to understand these principles. And the other thing that I want to help people to understand is that there is a solution. If people today even would get together with a few other people, buy land in the country, grow their own food, they would be able to survive these hard times that we're coming to.
Mm-hmm.
But just think of trying to bring food into the inner city when there are rioting mobs on the outer city who can't get food. They just won't. People are going to be starving. And this is, we're coming to a very serious time.
And what leads you to believe that we are...
30s.
Excuse me?
Much worse than the 1930s.
I believe that, too. I think it's just coming in a couple of years. But what causes you to believe that we're headed into harder times?
What?
What causes you to believe that we are headed into harder times?
Well, it's partly partly intuition, partly the feeling. I go more by consciousness than statistics. In fact, I think the government is lying to us on those statistics. But also my guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, was a true prophet. He said the dollar won't be worth the paper it's printed on.
That's already true, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, that's terrible.
That was true the minute we went off the gold standard.
Exactly. Exactly. That was a very great mistake.
Huge. Huge mistake. So, what perspective do you feel like? I mean, you've lived somewhat like a monk's life your whole life. And so, what perspective do you feel you can bring that is truly going to change someone's life during this series?
Kimberly, I'm a human being. And what's true for me as a human being will be true for somebody with 50 children. That's not the issue whether you have a job and a wife and children. The issue is, as a human being, if you learn to serve other people, you will be happy. If you think in terms of what's in it for me, like that Charlotte's Web movie, where the rat is always saying, "What's in it for me, Charlotte?" When you think in terms of helping others and making other people happy, you find somehow there's a law. If we believe that there is a consciousness behind everything, we have to believe that that consciousness will work for us. And I have seen in my life actual miracles where I was sustained when I needed it. If you would like, I'll tell you a story.
Please, we love stories.
Okay, I felt guided. I always think of God as my divine mother. That's just my particular image of God. And I felt from divine mother many years ago that I should go back to India. And I had enough money, people had given me, I'd gained in classes and so on, but only to stay for 2 months and then come back. And I went into San Francisco, and my car threw a rod.
Ouch.
And I realized I had to get rid of this old clunker and get something relatively new, because I live up in the mountains where a car is mandatory. Well, I didn't know what to do, because if I got a car, I wouldn't have the money to go to India. So finally I put it to Divine Mother like this. I said, "My common sense tells me I need a car. If you still want me to go to India, you're going to have to reimburse me." And this was Friday night. I put $1,100 down on a decent used car. The next Monday morning, I received a letter in the mail from somebody I didn't know, and it was addressed to me, not to Ananda Community. It contained a check for $1,000 made out to me, and it said, "Use this as Divine Mother wants you to." Now, how many
people
in America think of God as their Divine Mother?
That's pretty. That is very poignant. There was no missing that miracle.
There's many demonstrations like that in my life. If you live more consciously for God, and you can do it wherever you are, it's just more difficult if you've got children yelling at you. But you can do it.
You can do it. Wherever, and that's what we focus here on this show called the Connect with Kimberly Reed here on Positive Talk Radio, AM 1400 KKZZ, that we focus on what we can do versus what we can't do, because you guys have heard me talk, you gals have heard me talk about that what you focus on expands. And if you're focusing on the problems, guess what? You're going to have more problems. Your problems are going to get bigger. If you focus on solutions, you focus on what you want versus what you don't want, then guess what? Opportunities expand. And that's what we're really talking about at the crux of it, is using your strengths to serve other people. And that will bring fulfillment and passion and excitement into your life. And Swami, at the half hour of every day, we like to recognize women who are doing extraordinary things in their life. So I just want to give a shout out to all of my Compass pals who are working together to make a difference in the world. The leader of Compass, Kim Fulcher, actually has the flu, and she was on an hour-long call coaching people into greatness today. That is what I call leading by example, and not letting petty things like the flu get in the way of serving serving others.
Well, that's absolutely right.
That's exactly right. And I know that you have not felt 100%, Swami, and you are here today serving and giving of yourself. So thank you very much. So for all of you who are serving, even if you are ill and leading in your greatness today and serving others, whether you're a mom and you're just not feeling 100% and you're still serving your kids, you are the Shiro today. If you are a leader in a company and you are serving others, then you are a Shiro today. So thank you very much. We're going to go to break, and then we will be back to hear more about 6 weeks to lasting success and happiness. Another great song picked by Spence. Thank you so much for being my producer and sound engineer. You always bring it every day, even when I don't bring you espresso shots. So thank you very much. So today, I just want to remind everybody, if you have a volunteer in your program who is doing extraordinary things in our community, please do slip me their name, number, and what they're all about, why you'd like to recognize them. Send me an email at connectwithkimberlyreed@gmail.com. Again, that address is connectwithkimberlyreed@gmail.com for Shiro nominations. Thank you so much. We're here talking today with Swami Kriyananda. Sorry, I'm really having a tough time with your last name. And he is going to be talking starting February 1st, 6 weeks to lasting success and happiness. He doesn't care what faith you are. He just wants to share with you some universal wisdom about connecting with your authentic self and living in service to others so that you can find more fulfillment in your life. Is that correct, Swami?
Yes.
Excellent. So what were you going to add before we went to break?
Yes, I wanted to add that in our 8 communities, in which about 1,000 people live around the world, one principle we have is that it's not a matter of principle, it just happens. There's absolute equality between the sexes. We have as many women in positions of authority as we have men.
Excellent, excellent. Well, and it's been, I came to faith very, very young and was self-aware very, very young, and you know, had a few pitfalls in my life to give me some extra knowledge and wisdom. But one of the things that I always wondered about, and I just thought, you know, how is it possible that God is a he? And I know some of my Christian buddies are going to go, what the heck is she talking about? But in Genesis, that talks about that God created us humans in their image. And so if we have...
woman, and neither man nor woman.
Yeah, exactly. So we have feminine energy, we have masculine energy. One usually is a little more dominant than the other, but you know what? We're all human beings, and if we can treat each other with respect...
But you know, with the mother aspect, at least you have this side in your favor. The mother is more compassionate than the father. And we need all the compassion. Yes.
Well, it's funny that you brought that up, Swami, because looking back throughout my 2010 experiences, I was just gifted with some amazing people that were brought into my life, a huge, varied cross-section of people. And one of the individuals was back in January when I was in Puerto Vallarta at a NLP conference with Richard Bandler and some others, mentors and mentees of his. And there was one guy there, he was a shaman from Colombia or Mexico, I'm not sure, but definitely from South America. He had studied a lot of Chinese energy, Qigong. I think he was even a ninja. He was definitely a shaman. And he was talking about healing the heart of the world. And it's funny that you brought that up about the nurturing aspect of the female energy. And I got to, you know, mulling around in my mind about healing the heart of the world, healing the heart of the world, and then looking at all the other people that were brought into my path. And I starting to putting together the pieces of the puzzle like it was a jigsaw and going, how does this fit? How does this fit? And then realizing that Compass and other coaches are just coming up like crazy, trying to make the world a better, or doing, I shouldn't say trying, take my own advice, doing a great job of making the world a better place. And to me, it was healing the hearts of women so that we could heal the heart of the world. What do you think about that?
I absolutely agree with you.
Thank you.
I think we're coming into an age of greater feeling. The idea of science being only reasonable, you can't understand things only by reason.
That is so true.
You have to feel the truth. And, no, I absolutely agree with you.
So it is
adding to it.
For a long time, we've had a high surgence of masculine energy, and it is time, I think, to equalize that out.
Very reasonable, rational, and fine. I was watching the movie The Maltese Falcon a few days ago, and they were all so rational. It was dead.
It was dead. Oh, my goodness. So tell us, what are some of the things people will learn or experience in your six-week course?
Well, I hope they will experience that the importance of bliss. Here's an outline. One will be the importance of right action. When there is right action, there will be victory. It was an interesting thing. I was in a hospital in India a few years ago with double pneumonia. I came close to dying. And a doctor came into my room, and he comes up to my bed, and he says, "Sir, can you help me?" And I thought, my goodness, he should be saying, "How can I help you?" So he said, "I have a son in Canada, and I have lots of responsibilities, and I do believe in spiritual principles, but how can I find success in life and be completely, adhere completely and rigidly to spiritual principles?" And I said that I have found in my life that by adhering rigidly to them, that I have been more successful. Well, I'm afraid I wasn't a good advertisement.
Laying there in the hospital.
And he left the room totally unconvinced. So I decided I would write a course on the subject. Okay. And it was 26 lessons. These are only 6 lessons. But it was the equivalent of a book about 600 pages.
Wow.
But right action is very important. Then how to attract what you need when you need it. That's very important.
Definitely.
That depends right attitude. Having just what you said, and I've often used exactly the same expression, to become solution conscious, not problem conscious. And then inspiration. You need to understand that it is possible to receive inner guidance, even in cooking, in the most mundane activities, and you can be guided by that. You'll find that if you go by inspiration, you can have much more success. I have found that I write music. I've written over 400 pieces of music. And I find that all I need to do is present my super consciousness with the ideas that I want the music to express and say, "Give me a melody," and there it is.
Wow.
No problem. And the importance of right attitude, so important. And what is it to be practical? Well, to be practical is to do what works. And if it isn't practical because it doesn't work to put money first, then learn to be practical.
Right.
And first things first in life, love and happiness are much more important than physical gain.
To have your priorities aligned, then.
Recovering. And I think they're very important for everybody's life.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So you will actually be able to take questions if anybody attends to these live, right?
I have a whole section where I let people ask questions.
Excellent.
And I don't have any rote answers.
You're just going to let Divine Source feed you the answers, huh?
I'm sorry?
You're going to let Divine Source feed you the answers?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. So the cost of this 6 weeks to lasting success and happiness, where the Swami will share his wisdom, it's open to everyone, starting Tuesdays, February 1st at 7:30 at Ananda, Los Angeles, Ashram House, 425 North Highland Avenue in L.A., California. The cost is $299. You can go to anandala.org. That's Anandala, is that correct?
Yeah.
.org to find out details and how to sign up. If you are not in the LA area or cannot travel to that, there is a way for you to also participate online or some such thing. I think you're even going to do recordings of this too, right? Swami, you're going to do recordings of this program?
Oh, yes. We'll be recording it. It'll be available on the internet too.
Excellent, excellent. So yeah. there's no excuses if you are looking for some answers to your personal success and lasting happiness, especially as we go into what is potentially one of the darkest economic times of our known history. It'd be good to have good tools. Good to have good tools. And
we're coming to a very difficult time, not only economically. I read just the other day that the pole is shifting 4 miles a year, 40 miles a year, and it could become 400 miles a year. We're coming to a series. I remember Yogananda in the Hollywood church many years ago stopping his sermon to say, to declare with great force, "You don't know what a terrible cataclysm is coming."
Wow.
We're in for hard times.
Well,
it would be very good to know how to batten the hatches.
Well, I have thought for quite a while, and this was one of the other revelations that I got last year, is, you know, why the recession? Why now? And I truly believe it's totally aligning with what you're talking about, that when we have had our focus on money and material things for so long, we needed to be shaken at our core. And
that's
for
right.
Those of us that had priorities of materialistic goods, we needed to be shaken where it hurt so that we could be shaken to waken. And now is a great time, I believe, of awakening and figuring out what our core values really are, who we really are authentically, and have and choose to exercise the power that we have within us so that we can live more extraordinary lives in service to other people.
Well, the beautiful thing about this discussion, and the more difficult thing also, is that we completely agree on everything.
Well, and it's now tell me, so since we have agreed on these things, just out of my own personal curiosity, I started practicing yoga a couple of years ago, and I found that it was like coming home. I'm still a believer, and I still, you know, do my regular spiritual practices, but practicing yoga helped me to be calm, be centered, and the movements of my body were like what I did as a kid. But I didn't know it was yoga when I was 8 years old doing full lotus and walking, you know, on my knees with my legs crossed in a funny way. And doing tree pose as I did the dishes. So do you still practice the physical aspects of yoga?
You know, at the age of 85, one's body is difficult. I need help walking.
Oh, okay. But you did practice it at one point?
Yes, in fact, I was quite good at it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I wrote a book on it called Yoga Postures for Higher Awareness.
Ooh. I am going to have to get me a copy of that.
The whole purpose of it was to show that how positions of the body also can affect your mental attitude.
Totally agree. Well, the same is true conversely, that when you have a mental attitude and you don't release those guilt feelings or grief or sadness or despair, and you don't get the learning or the messages that the subconscious mind is trying to tell you, then it does tend to settle into our organs, our bones, and cause physical pain because it's
two together. I have the position and an affirmation that goes with the position.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So that people can help themselves to release old junk.
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What's the name of that book again?
Pardon?
What is the name of that book again?
Yoga Postures for Higher Awareness.
Yoga Postures for Higher Awareness. Now, is it available on Amazon or anywhere? What's that?
Higher Awareness.
Higher Awareness. So where can they get that? Is it on the...
I suppose at any bookstore.
At any bookstore? Okay.
And if they don't have it, they can order it.
Okay. So, and if they are interested in going to your workshop, they can go to the website, A-N-A-N-D-A-L-A ananda.la.org, or ananda Facebook me, and I'll help you find
divine
it.
Divine joy.
What's that?
Ananda means divine joy.
Divine joy. Well, that makes makes it a little more practical, doesn't it? All right, so we're going to take a little break here, Swami, and then when we get back, I want you to give our listeners something very practical, very ABC, 1, 2, 3, that they can do after hearing this show and start putting into practice some happiness techniques. Will you do that for us?
Okay.
All right, hold on just a moment. And we're back with the Connect with Kimberly Reed show, inspiring, empowering radio for women. And we do let enlightened men listen in, too, here on Positive Talk Radio, 1400 AM KKZZ. We're talking with a Swami today who wants you to be happy. And he's going to teach you in 6 lessons in L.A. or online or through recordings on how to do that so that you can prepare for whatever times that we have ahead of us. And Swami, I gave you a challenge before we went to break and to give us some ABC steps before we leave our show today. What can our listeners do to bring in more happiness?
You know, a very interesting thing, in Benvenuto Cellini's autobiography, he talks of one time when the Pope threw him in a dungeon. And there he was with no food except a little crust of bread and water, rats running around the floor, a damp mattress, and only enough light every day to read the Bible for 1 hour. And he said that if you want to know what true happiness is, arrange to be thrown into a dungeon. And he repeated all those circumstances, and he said, think of God. And he said he had never in his life known so much bliss. So whatever your circumstances, if you think of God, you'll be in heaven. And if you have money or no money, it's not the issue. You don't have to give everything up. You have to give it to God. That's different. And so to find happiness, think first of God. Live first for God. Give your life to God. Now, there's a technique that you can use that would be very helpful for everybody. It's taught in the scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says to think in meditation, think of your heart as a lotus, and turn the petals of that lotus upward toward the brain, and feel that all the energy of your heart is going upward toward the brain and toward the point between the eyebrows. You will find in your life that the level of energy in your body has everything to do with the level of consciousness you're on. When that level is low, you are low. When that level is raised, then suddenly you find yourself higher. Once I was in a mood many, many years ago, and I put my mind between the eyebrows. 5 minutes was all it took to get out of that mood and feel that everything was all right with the world.
5 minutes that you invested to change your mindset. Gosh, that sounds like a good investment to me.
I beg your pardon?
I said 5 minutes to change your mindset from poor to fabulous. Sounds like a good investment to me.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So say that again. So imagine that within your heart is a lotus flower.
Your heart. Imagine that your heart is a lotus.
Is the lotus.
Turn the petals of that lotus upward toward the brain and direct its energy toward the point between the eyebrows, just behind them. You know, the frontal lobe of the brain is the most advanced part. If we can keep our energy there, the ego is centered in the medulla oblongata. Enlightenment is centered at the point between the eyebrows.
Huh.
The more you can live at that point, the more you will find yourself in happiness.
Instead of being governed by ego and greed. I like the sound of that, Swami. You have done an amazing job today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You are a beautiful soul, and thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us and the world. 6 weeks to lasting success and happiness.
And don't forget that that there is going to be on February 11th, the Conscious Life Expo And I'm one of the keynote speakers at that tour.
Very cool. So that's February 11th through the 14th at the LAX Hilton. And it's the 9th Conscious Life Expo. And all kinds of great speakers. It's a three-day event, transformational lectures, workshops. Michelle Phillips, John Hurd, Senator Mike Gravel, George Norrie, Gary Zivak. Let's see, Stephen Greer, all kinds of cool names, and our Swami today. Amazing, amazing. Sounds just, and it's very, very reasonable, too. Only $20 general admission advance, or $25 at the door at the LAX Hilton on Century Boulevard in LA. You can also go to consciouslifeexpo.com, or to hear Swami talk about his 6 weeks to lasting success and happiness. You are welcome to do so starting February 5th at 7:30 at the Ananda Los Angeles Ashram House, 425 North Highland Avenue in LA. And that website where you can go and find out more details is ANANDALA.org, or Facebook me if you didn't get that, and I would be glad to give you the information.
I'd like to have one final thought to express.
Please
I
do.
I never teach. I only share.
Oh, I love it. So you're sharing your wisdom on success and happiness and helping people to prepare in for whatever times that we face ahead. Thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing with us today.
Very good.